This podcast is a production of Bridges Church. Please visit us at www.bridgeschurch.net.
All right. Well, good morning, everybody. You guys are the ones that did not go to the beach for the holiday, huh? So you guys are here. Good to have you this morning. I am Patrick. Brandon's been doing our announcements the last few months, and Brandon is not here today, so picture me with a beard and ginger, okay, hair today. And this is who I am. So I'm doing the announcements today. Good to have you guys here. On the screen behind me is our QR code. Go ahead and click on that if you want to. It connects you with everything that we're doing here. You can get our newsletter. I really encourage you to get our newsletter if you're not doing that. It goes out every Friday, has everything that we have going on. You can find out who we are, what we're about through the QR code, and as well as a place to put your notes today. If you're taking notes, if you want to put down some things that you want to remember, if there's some things that you want God to remind you of, get it down somewhere in your notes, somewhere that you can say, God, just I want to grow, I want to learn from you. So that's what the QR code is there for. We have a couple of announcements, like three total today I want to share with you. First of all, Multiply is about to end. Those of you that have been with us throughout the summer, Multiply is our kind of a step of faith that we've been taking for the last 4 years, where we've given out about $5,000 each year and say to the church, go multiply it, see what God wants to do through you, and then bring the money back at the end of the summer. And the money goes not to us, but to our nonprofit, Bridging the Gap, which has done food drives. We do backpack program at Old Town. We do yard sales, clothes closet kind of thing, and we're getting ready to launch our learning center. So that's where all this money is going through. Some great, great projects we've seen, hiking. We had a group do jump rope, and Sean and Colleen have led that. So that's been kind of fun. Some people are talking about being sore today from yesterday's jump roping. So good job on that. What's that? Oh, yeah, we had a guy not show up yesterday. It means he has to get a tattoo. One of our elders promised to be there. He didn't show up, so he has to get a tattoo now. So we're going to wait and see what he gets. So anyway, that money is due next week after all that we've been doing. A great job of just putting our faith in God, saying, God, use us to bless this community. So that's due next week. Second announcement is you should have gotten a card. Did you guys get a card when you came in? Let me see it. Did you guys get this? Some of you got it. Who threw it all away already? All right, some of you guys got it. Good. If you did not get a card, you need to grab one. This is our small groups. We are doing some new things this fall. Every fall, we kick off small groups. We're doing some newer ones this time, so I want to kind of hit those. There's only four, and there's a reason for four. I'm going to explain it to you in just a second. Small groups are where we build community. Small groups is where we build relationships. Small groups is where we have accountability, where we pray for one another, get to know one another, get to dive into God's word together, and get to grow together. So the four small groups are like this. There's going to be one on Sunday morning starting next week over in the ministry center across the parking lot. We're going to be doing the Sermon on the Mount. And if you're a follower of Jesus, you need to know the Sermon on the Mount so you know how to follow him and how to live in the kingdom. So Brandon will be teaching that one. You can sign up for these. On the card, there's another QR code. You can get into that. That's next Sunday. The world's best small group is Sunday night. That would be my group. Bob is helping to lead that. Jim Keegan is, and our wives are all jumping into that. We are doing Rooted. Rooted is the study we want you to do first. It really kind of lays out, this is what a small group is about. This is how you grow in your relationship with Christ. We're going to do some fun things with it, some experiences with it, a prayer experience, a service experience. So I really encourage you, if you've not done a small group, Sunday night, 5 o'clock at the Norris household, we offer dinner as a bribe to get you to vote us the world's greatest small group. So it starts next Sunday. Sign up for that. Then Thursday night, this is the new group. We're going to call it the group of groups. We really want to focus on community right now. Coming out of COVID, people are coming back. People are looking for community. So for this small group, what we're going to do is we're going to gather together kind of in a circle kind of thing, just being together, going to worship. We have teaching for a few minutes. Just here's the Bible. This is what it says about a certain topic. And then we're going to put you in smaller groups. You're going to get in smaller groups. You're going to choose your groups. Men with men, women with women, smaller groups where you can have some accountability, can have someone praying for you, encourage you. We just really like this format, so we're going to offer that on Thursday night. So jump into that group, go check it out, and child care is available Thursday night here at the church. And the fourth small group is really not a small group. we sense that God is moving us more and more to help people that are going through difficult times in our community and in our church. People that are going through difficulties like grieving, maybe you're going through relationship issues. You're looking to help or to find help for a situation. So on Saturday mornings, we're going to be offering Stephen Ministry training. Stephen Ministry is an organization that says we're going to train people to come alongside and walk through life's difficulties with people as they need it. And right now, there's a huge need for people with having mental health issues. They just need someone to talk to and someone to listen. So we're going to train up a group. And Tom and Cass Eckert are heading that up. They've been trained as Stephen ministers. They do it. They're great at this. And so I think right now we have 9. We'd like to have more because we sense this huge need. So you sign up for that. There's an informational meeting September the 10th. Then you commit and see if this is where God wants you to be. And then you start in October. So we really just sense God moving in this way, wants you to jump into that if God leads you. So there's 4 small groups. Again, we shrunk it down a little bit this time. Our Thursday night group is the group of groups. So that's where the groups kind of have settled, some of them. Sign up today. They start next week. Okay? So if you have any questions, see me afterwards. Since Brandon is not here, I will do the best I can, and I can get you involved. Last announcement is 3 weeks from today is our 15th birthday as a church. We're almost ready to drive, okay? We're going to get our license in another year. God has been so gracious to us. We just want to stop and celebrate. So we're going to ask you to come, and if you come second service, we're going to ask you to come early. We're going to have a brunch, okay? And for those that are longtime Bridges people, I've heard the pig in the blankets are coming back, okay? That used to be our thing. There was actually a ministry here for our setup team. We got pig in the blankets. It's coming back. Sausage biscuits, all the things we used to do when we set up and tore down. So come early, eat, get stuff, and then stay and try to stay awake for second service, all right? The first hour people are going to stay. But we want you to do this, too. If you have been around at Bridges for a while, anybody that you know in our community that is still here, maybe not part of Bridges, we want to invite them. Invite them to come and celebrate with us. So 3 weeks from today, we're going to do our greatest hits worship songs, I guess is what I heard. Just the songs that we know and love over the years, we're going to bring that back. Going to have some video testimonies, just some greetings from people that have been connected with us over the years. So that's in 3 weeks, and I'm out of breath, and I don't have to still have to teach. So I think I'm done with announcements. Okay with everybody? You guys good? All right, so let's dive into it. You have your Bibles, Proverbs chapter 3. We are wrapping up our series that we are calling Back to School, because school is back. We are ready to go. Our homeschoolers are back. Our public school people are back. Colleges are back. Everything is back. And we've been focusing on this time is just saying, God, teach us. God, just teach us, because Jesus is a teacher. That's his character. And if you are a follower of Jesus, you're a disciple. You are a student. And your posture, my posture should always be, I just want to learn from you, God. I have so much to learn. I want you to teach me how to live for you. And this series has been talking about, looking at Proverbs, just going, God, teach us how to follow you. I was reading an article from Psychology Today the other day. And it said in the course of a given day, an average day, you make about 35,000 decisions. 35,000 decisions a day. And if you think about it, the average person sleeps about 7 hours a day. Some of you more, some of you less. And that is a decision, how much sleep you get, right, for the most part. And if you take out those 7, and you're left with just 17 hours, right, that's about 2,000 decisions an hour, which is about 1 decision every 2 seconds. Like some of you decided to check out, or even right now, you're like, I'm done. That's too much math, too much thinking. But you're making decisions all the time. Like this morning, you woke up, and you decided you were going to come to church, some of you. And somebody maybe decided you were coming to church for you. I don't know how that worked in your household. But some of you set an alarm last night. Like, how many had to set an alarm last night? Anybody set an alarm? How many just get up without an alarm? Okay, most of you. And then how many of you are still asleep now? Okay, so, all right, that alarm has not gone off yet. So you're still working on that. But you made a decision last night, you're going to get up, you need an alarm, and so you set it, or somebody else is going to do it. And then you decided, okay, I'm going to get up, I'm going to take a shower or not. That was some of your decisions. You decided what you're going to eat, the same thing all the time, or maybe you made some choices. You decided what you're going to wear today. Or if you've got little ones, you had to decide for them. You had to decide this morning if you're actually going to talk to somebody in your house, right? Because some of you don't talk for a while. You're going, I'm not, and then the other people are going, I'm not talking to that person. They already made a choice. If I talk, the bear comes out. I don't want the bear to come out, so I'm not going to talk to them. You're already seeking peace in the morning, right? You're already thinking about that. And then you made the choice to come to service. Some people are online watching at the beach, and we all hate you. We've already talked about that, all right? We're all here, and hopefully it rains today where you are because we're here. No, just kidding. You guys decided to come to church today, and if you drove, how many of you actually drove here? Not, you weren't the passenger. All right, so you weren't the passenger. You actually drove, okay? How many were the passenger? So you put your life, you made the decision to put your life in their hands. That was a choice that you made, and then the driver made the choice, right? Yellow light, am I going to speed up or slow down, right? And you made the choice, somebody in the car, what you're going to listen to, right? We're going to listen to the radio, or you're going to listen to something else. That was a choice. And then you got behind somebody slow, probably. You had them decide, am I going to pull around them or not? Am I going to stop at Starbucks or not? Anybody stop at Starbucks on the way here? Okay, all right. So yeah, anybody stop at Biscuitville or somewhere else? How many decided the food is so good here, I don't need to stop anywhere? Anybody? Okay, a lot of you guys, that's good. That's a choice, right? And then you came in, you decided where you're going to park. And then did anybody decide to repark? Like it wasn't quite right? Anybody do that this morning? Okay, it's like, I'm that way too. If it's not right, lined up, I get out. Got to do it again. Got to make this thing right. It's a choice. And you decided you came in, who you're going to talk to, what you're going to say, where you're going to sit. They were all choices, and you still got the rest of the day to go, and that's a lot of choices, isn't it? And you think about it, this is what we do every single day. John Maxwell said this, he wrote this, he says, life is a matter of choices. Life is a matter of choices, and every choice you make makes you. Your life, my life, is made up of the choices that we make. We make all kinds of choices throughout the day, and that's what our life is made of. The consequences, the results of these choices that we make. And as we go to school, we learn how to make choices. That's what life is about. How do you make your choices in life? Some choices are our good choices. And if you think about your life, you go, I'm glad I chose this, right? I'm glad I chose the person I married. I'm glad I chose the house that I live in. I'm glad I chose the job I'm in. They're good choices. Some choices are not great, and you kind of go, I wish I hadn't have made that choice, right? We kind of look at our life. Then there's regrets, and we look at our life of regrets, and we go, I wish I had never. And in the room, for each one of us, we have that regret box, right, where we kind of put things, I wish I had never done that, but that's a choice. Some of our choices are huge. Who are we going to marry? We already mentioned. What job am I going to do? What degree am I going to take? What school? Where am I going to live? Those are big decisions. Some decisions are really small, like, should I eat that donut, right? Some of you guys made that choice already, like, it looks really good, but I don't know if I should make that. It seems like a small choice, but if you're trying to lose weight, maybe a little bit more weight to that, right? There's some small choices. And then there's the butterfly effect choices of life. You know what the butterfly effect is? The theory that there's a butterfly somewhere that flaps its wings. Is it flaps? What does a butterfly do? I don't even know, but we're going to say flaps. Flutters, it flutters the wings, and that creates this little breeze, which creates some bigger breeze, which turns into a hurricane, and it hits us and dumps all the water, and it's a catastrophe, right? But that little choice creates something further down the road. It's the choices we don't even notice sometimes, right? We sit down next to somebody in school, and 10 years later, we're married, have kids. Like, that small choice of where you sat down decides everything else. We're sitting at a stoplight, and we're about to turn right, and we don't notice the person in front of us stopped. They didn't pull through, and you pulled through, and you hit them, and it's just a small distraction for a second, but now you're having to pay extra money, and it's just a small choice that has this butterfly effect, and it ruins the rest of your day, or you hurt your neck, or something like that. It's this little bit of choice that has huge consequences. Today, I want to talk about that. I want to talk about how do you make choices? How do you make decisions? Because again, we're in Proverbs chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 13. And in Proverbs 3, the instructor, the teacher, who is a father, is teaching his son, but it's really our father teaching his children. And through the course of the series, we've kind of looked at each of the things from Proverbs 3 and how it affects our life. Today, we're on a topic that deals with choices. And you'll know what it is as soon as I dive in, because this is what Proverbs is about. Proverbs 3, 13 through 24, ESV version is what we're using today. I'm going to read it off the screen, and then you guys can follow along. He writes, "Blessed is the one who finds wisdom, and the one who gets understanding. For the gain from her wisdom is better than gain from silver, and her profit is better than gold. She, wisdom, is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding he established the heavens. By his knowledge the deeps broke open and the clouds dropped down the dew. My son, do not lose sight of these. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, and they will be life for your soul and adornment for your neck. Then you will walk on your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. If you lie down, you will not be afraid. And when you lie down, your sleep will be sweet." Let's pray before we move on. Father, may your word rest in our hearts and our life. May your word determine the path before us. May your word be the seed that is planted that brings transformation and bears fruit. And teach us, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Obviously, in this passage, if we're going to talk about how to make a decision, we're going to talk about wisdom, the wisdom to be able to make the right choices. Through this series, we've been kind of jumping into some Hebrew words. We've kind of been practicing those. And so just so you know, in this passage, the word for wisdom is a Hebrew word. It's the word chokmah. And we've been doing that little extra thing and trying to get us to say it. So, yeah, we're going to do that now. Just don't do it toward anybody. So the word, again, is chokmah. You got to do that guttural thing. Get it out. Cover your mouth so you don't spit anybody. So I'm going to count to three, and you're going to say chokmah, okay? One, two, three. Chokmah. Doesn't that feel good to say that? It just kind of releases some stuff. So in the Hebrew, it is a word that talks about battle. It's the word basically for strategy. When you're planning a battle, when the person's leading a group into battle, it's like you want to have a strategy for how you're going to win because you don't want to lose the battle. And life in some ways is a battle, isn't it? It's a battle of making the right choices. And you want to be able to make the right choices in the right way at the right time. Chokmah is this idea that you have the wisdom to do it right. And if you think about it, it's really, if we talk about wisdom, it's the ability to use your knowledge and your experiences to make good decisions and judgments. It's taking what you've learned, like your knowledge, is what the information you get from school, information that you learn from your parents, the information that you learn from the scriptures, which is the number one thing we're going to talk about. It's the information that you gather from your culture. It's getting all this knowledge, and it's this amazing brain that God has given us. We store knowledge in there so we can look and go, okay, what choice do I need to make based on what I know? But wisdom is different than being pure knowledge, because you can be very, very intelligent and have a ton of knowledge and not be wise at all. And you probably know of someone. And don't point to anyone in the room that you may be thinking about at the moment, all right, including me. But if somebody just filled with knowledge may not be wise. Because it's also based on your experiences. And I want you to think about experiences this way, the things that God has taught you over the years. And you look back at your life and go, okay, God brought me here. God did this. He showed me that. I was experiencing him at this moment in this way. And you take those life experiences and you go, okay, based on my past and the information I have, I'm now faced with this decision. I'm going to hit this point. I've got three choices to make. I've got three paths in front of me, two paths, whatever it is. And you go, okay, I've got to make a choice based on what I know and what I've experienced, which is the right path to take. That is what we're talking about today. How do you know which one it is and what will it do for you? In the passage we looked at, the writer of Proverbs, again inspired by the Holy Spirit, said there's some good things that come from wisdom, from making good choices. We're just going to look at those really quickly. So one of the things he said is if you make the right choice, you will be blessed. You will be blessed, which means happy. You're going to make good choices. Your life is going to be better than if you made a bunch of bad choices. You're going to be blessed. And wisdom is more precious than money or jewels that you're going to get, right? Again, you can be very, very rich and make very, very bad choices in life. So it's better than jewels. It's more precious, and it gives you long life because you're making choices to give life to yourself. It's like riches and honor. Doesn't mean you're going to be rich. You have to be careful of that. God may bless you with riches, but you know how to handle the resources you have. And people will notice when you have wisdom. They give you honor for it. They recognize that in you. God is working. I like the word pleasantness. Your life will be pleasant. What's the opposite of that? Strife, confusion, anxiety, right? When you have wisdom, you have a pleasant life, and you're full of peace because you know that God is guiding your decisions. It's like a tree of life, which is the source of life. It's life-giving. Wisdom is life-giving to us. It's life for your soul. Your soul feels refreshed when you make wise choices. You walk securely, not just physically, obviously, but your life is secure. You're not falling into these pits right and left on either side that you can fall into with bad choices. Your feet will not stumble. I like the next one. You will lie down and not be afraid. Take the word afraid out and put the word anxious. You will lay down and you won't be anxious, because anxiety is a type of fear, and your sleep will be sweet. That sounds good, doesn't it? Instead of being up at 2 or 3 in the morning worrying, when you make wise choices, when God is working through you to be wise, that is a product, that is a consequence of wisdom. And God wants us to have wisdom for life, and that's what he takes us back to school for in our walk with Jesus. In 2004, I came across a book. It's a fairly famous book. It's a book I wish I had read when I was 14. I don't know about anybody else, if you ever thought about if I could go back to when I was younger, I would make some different choices. Maybe I'm the only one, but a lot of us go, I would make some different decisions, or at least make them differently. But there was a book that came out in 2004 that I wish I had read when I was 14. It's a short book. It's an easy book. I've referenced it before. It was written by Andy Stanley, and it's called The Best Question Ever. And when it's got a title like that, you just go, okay, what's the best question ever? And you just want to skip reading, go, I just want to know what the question is. Because it's intriguing, isn't it? What's the best question ever? And it's a decision-making question. And in the book, he just talks about different things, but he comes up with this question that I want to present to you. And here's the question. When you're about to make a decision and you got these paths in front of you, the question is, what's the wise thing to do? What is the wise thing to do? I've got these three choices to make. I've got to make one. And you're going, okay, of these three or these four or these 10 or these two, what's the wise thing to do? I want to make the wise choice. That's the question. So anytime you got a question in front of you and you're going to stop and you're just going to go, at this point, before I move forward, what's the wise thing to do? What should I do? I think most of us ask questions, right, when we're getting ready to make a decision, but they're not that question. We might ask this question, what do I want to do? I got three choices, what do I want to do? I want to do this one, and that's how we decide. Some people go, it's not what I want, what do my parents want, which is not a bad thing, unless you're always making the decision, what do my parents want me to do, and so you're always thinking, I don't really think this is the best for me, I don't really want to, they're wise, but they're really pushing me this way. So what's my parents, or what are my friends? What are my teacher? What do they want me to do? It's good to think that way, but if it's all we're ever deciding, maybe we're missing something. Sometimes we go, what's the easiest decision? You know what I'm talking about? Like, okay, I got three choices. This one's easier. I don't have to confront anybody. I don't have to change. I think I'll make this decision. It's easier. How about this question? What can I get away with? You ever think about that? Here's my three choices. I think I'm going to choose this guy. I think I can get away with it if I do it. That's a decision-making process for some people, right? And so you look at that and go, but what is the wise thing to do? Because the wise thing to do has consequences that are good and right. And we want to take that path. The question, what's the wise thing to do, makes us stop and think. What am I supposed to do here? What would God say is the wise thing to do? It's a framework for decision-making. It's a perspective change. I had to get glasses a few years ago. I was preaching over at North when we were over there, and I went up on the stage one time. I said, somebody turn the lights out. I can't read anymore. And I realized that the lights were the same. My eyes were not the same. And I couldn't read, so I had to go get glasses. I've had the same glasses for 6 years because I don't go to the doctor. I don't go to the eye doctor. I don't go to any kind of doctor. It's just who I am. Those of you in my boat, you know, we're not going to let anybody just feel guilty for it, okay? That's just who I am. I don't go to the doctor very often. So I went to the eye doctor, did the test, and they go, yeah, your eyes have changed. So you need new glasses. Okay, all right. So paid the money. Took about 6 weeks to get in. It came in. I went and got my glasses, and I picked them up. I could read the box that it came in. That kind of, this is perfect. This is awesome. And then I got in the car, and I started to drive. I go, the world has changed for me. The world has changed. And I couldn't read signs, though. Like the sign for anything, like stop, speed limit, I couldn't read it. I could see everything right here, but I couldn't see anything out there. And then a car stopped in front of me, and I hit the brakes. And I realized I was like 20 yards away, but they felt like they were like this close. And then I started to feel a little bit nauseous, seasick nauseous, you know, from turning and stuff. I go, there's something wrong with the glasses. And so I took them off, and I don't see very well, but I could see enough to drive. So I went back to the eye doctor. He tested them. He goes, these are wrong. When you took the test, you did something wrong. And I thought in my head, when I did the test, you did something wrong. I just took the test. You made the glasses, and he gave me new glasses, and I can see. I can see, which is good when I'm driving. I want to be able to see. When you change the framework for how you think about choices, you're able to see. You're able to make the right choices. So that's why this question is so good. What is the wise thing to do? It changes your perspective, changes the way that you see things. Now, sometimes you're going, I still don't know what the wise thing to do is. You ever been there before? You got your choices. Some of them are obvious. Some of them are very obvious. Like, you look at it and you go, I get it. I'm not going to step out in front of a bus. That is not wise. There's certain people, I'm not going to do what they do. It's not wise. Based on who I am, there's certain clothes I'm not going to wear. It's not wise. I mean, I've had enough experience to go, okay, based on who I am and what I'm about, things don't work. I mean, that's just obvious. But how do you know what's the wise thing to do? I want to throw something at you as kind of a principle to think of and for this. And here's the principle. Sometimes the wisest thing to do is to figure out how to figure out what is the wisest thing to do. All right? Let's go through it again. Sometimes the wisest thing to do is to figure out how to figure out what the wisest thing to do is. Because what we mostly try to figure out is what is the thing? What is the thing? But what we want to look at today is how do I figure that out? How do I know this is the wise one? How do I know this is the best choice? How do I know I should take that? What is your process? Do you have a process for figuring out what's wise? Today I want to give you 5 things. I'm going to move through them fairly quickly. As followers of Jesus, this would be where we go. If you're kind of still thinking about Jesus, maybe you want to think about this and about how he helps us make decisions. Maybe it helps you on your journey. Maybe brings you one step going, I want that. But if you're a follower of Jesus, here's 5 things to kind of present to you. Go, think about this. You got these choices. They're in front of you. Go, I want to know how to figure it out. So number one, you're looking for wisdom. What's the first thing you do is you ask for wisdom. Number one thing, you ask for wisdom. You stop and you pray, and you just simply say, God, what is the wise thing to do? What is your will? What is the direction you want me to take? Show me your wisdom. It's a simple, very quick prayer. God, what is the wise thing to do? James chapter 1, verse 5 says this, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God, meaning he's very generous in giving wisdom, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. He's not going to get mad at you. He wants to give you wisdom. He says, just ask, and it's a promise from God. So when you stop and you say, God, what do you want me to do? What's your wisdom? He's going to grant you wisdom. He promises. Now, wisdom is different than the big sign in the sky. You know what I'm talking about. Have you ever been there where you want the big sign from the sky to drop down where it says, do this? Have you ever been there? I've been there. God, I'm stuck. I don't know. Can you just write it in the sky so I know take this path? Can you just make it show up? Sometimes God would do that. Like in Solomon's case, he wrote this, right? And he just said, God came to him and says, well, you know, what do you want? And Solomon's going, I don't know how to lead these people. I don't know what to do in life. I'm not sure where to go. This job is too hard. And so God says, well, I'll give you whatever. And Solomon says, well, I want wisdom. And kind of like the big sky in the sky, God said, I will give you wisdom to make choices. That's a good thing. I'll give you wisdom to do that. And Solomon had wisdom. So that at the time, like God was very clear, you're getting wisdom to lead, and I'll give you other things too. We want that. Another example is King Saul. If you know King Saul's story, Saul was chosen to be king, and God used Samuel to do it. And when Saul, who looked like a king, came to Samuel, he was very unsure about this. Samuel says, you're going to be king. And Saul's going, I don't think so. I don't feel like a king. A lot of excuses. And to make him feel better, Samuel said, this is what's going to happen, so you'll know. You're going to leave here. You're going to go down the road. You're going to go to this place called Rachel's tomb. There's going to be two guys that are going to be there when you get there, and they're going to tell you that the donkeys you're looking for, because he was out looking for his lost donkeys, they're going to tell you that the donkey's already home and you're good. And then you're going to continue down the road, and you're going to come to this large tree. And there's going to be three people that you're going to run into. One man carrying three goats, which I don't know how you carry three goats, but he was carrying three goats. I still haven't figured that out. But he was wiser than I am. He's carrying three young goats. Another guy's carrying loaves of bread. Another guy's carrying a jar of wine, a bag of wine. He says, basically, take the bread, leave the goats. And he ran into them. And he said, after that, you're going to get to a town where they're prophesying, they're worshiping, and they're going to be there. When you get there, you're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and you're going to be able to prophesy, and God's working your life. And Saul said, great. And he goes on the road, all three things can happen. And there's a lot of times in life where I want that. I want God to tell me, today you're going to meet so-and-so, we're going to present this offer, take it, follow this trail, you're going to run into these other people, they're going to confirm it, and it's all going to be good, and there's no faith involved whatsoever. Right? We want the big sign from the sky that says, this is what you're supposed to do. And God says, I want you to learn wisdom. I want to take this journey with you. There are times where God is very clear, do this. So there's times he's very clear, do this. But I found in my life, they're not that often. Where it's just absolutely written in the sky. Most of it come with some wrestling with God, a lot of prayer with God, a lot of the things we're going to talk about with God, and then the clarity comes because he wants to teach us how to walk with Jesus through the Holy Spirit. So that's why he says, ask for wisdom, and he'll do it. Number two, second thing, not only ask for it, but seek it. Look for wisdom. You have to be active about it. You look in the scriptures is where we start. You're seeking wisdom. Seek it in the scriptures. Colossians 3:16 says this, let the word of Christ dwell with you richly in all wisdom. Let it sink down in your soul where it will change your life. That's why we said a few weeks ago, take a verse a day and read it 7 times out loud. Repeat it. Get it in your heart so that you know it. Here's the deal. You got a choice to make, and you could lie to get out of a problem. And if you just told a little lie, if you told a lie to someone, it would make the problem go away. And you go, I could take that choice. Everything's going to work out really nicely. But the word of God dwells richly in you. And you go, if I lie, there's unintended consequences. There's unintended consequences. So I could lie right now. I could get away with this. But down the road, somebody finds out my integrity's gone. They don't trust me anymore. And life is really bad. So I'm not going to choose that. But it's because I know that from the word, right? I could be very critical at this moment. And that's what I want to say to someone. I'm coming down really hard. They need to learn. And then you go through the scriptures and you realize that every word being encouraging changes your perspective. You go, I don't want to take the path of critical nature. There's times you have to say the hard thing, but there's a way you can say it. And so I'm going to choose this path because the word of God dwells in my life. That's why you seek the Lord's wisdom through the Lord's word, so we know what the right choice is. Not only do we go to the word for this, but sometimes we need to go to other people. Proverbs 13, verse 10 says this, where there is strife, there is pride, but wisdom is found in those who take advice. Now, I will tell you, after the first service, I had several people go, this message was really good. I need to send it to someone. I don't do that. It's like, you need to learn this about wisdom, okay? You can summarize it in your own words. It comes from you. But this is one of those, like, this person never takes advice. I need to hear it. Well, no, it's not that way. I mean, I want you to think about your choices and how you are with advice, okay? Let's just go that route for a second. Some people are in one of three camps. We're all in one of three. One is, I never ask for advice. I don't want advice. I want to do it myself. That's one camp. I got it figured out. I'm good. Second camp is, I'll take your advice. All right, I'm good with advice. I think it's really good. Third camp is, I don't want your advice. I want your approval. And I'm only going to ask the people who are going to agree with me. And they'll say it's a good choice because they already made those choices, or they're going to make an easy choice. So they listen, but they're very selective in who they choose. Isn't that right? There's like three camps. I don't listen to advice at all. Never ask. Don't want to know. I'll figure it out myself. People that go, yeah, I like advice. I don't have to take all of it, but I want to get a multitude of people, especially Christ followers, speak into that. And the other group is like, I'm only going to ask the people that I agree with because they're going to give me the answer I want anyway, which is kind of like being in this camp anyway, right? I'm only going to go with what I think. Wise people walk in this camp. They go, I'm going to talk to followers of Jesus. I want to catch what they might say, and I might say to them, what would you do in my situation? What advice would you give me? People that you trust, that you know. Not the ones that are just going to give you approval, but the ones, and they may say, I don't think it's a good idea. And you might go to 10 people and get 10 different ideas. But it will help clarify what you're supposed to do. Seek advice from the scriptures first. And then go to people that you trust. Which leads us to number three. All right? When you seek advice, do this. Surround yourself with wise people. And one of the most important things you learn in school is who to hang out with, right? And who not to hang out with, right? And you hope that you weren't in the list that somebody else's parents were saying, don't hang out with that person, right? Because that's where you get in trouble. But, right, I mean, that's the whole thing, is hang out with people that are wise. And this is where we make our friends, with the wise people. Not wise guys, but wise people, okay? I want to be with them. What would they say? How would they influence me? What would they do in my situation? Now, I will add this. It's who you listen to as well. The podcasts, the news, the music, the literature. It's anyone that you allow to speak into your life. Make sure they're wise. Make sure they're wise, biblically wise, because you're going to learn from them. Be careful what you allow people to say into your life. Proverbs 13:20 says this, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. If we listen to the wrong people, if we allow the wrong people to speak into our lives, we'll take the wrong paths because we want their approval, because we let them influence the way we think. Be careful who we're listening to. So surround yourself with wise people. It doesn't mean you can't be around people that aren't wise sometime. But it means you really filter what you hear from them, okay? Number four, this one's just an obvious one I'll just throw out there. Apply your life experiences. Apply your life experiences. What I mean by that is you start when you're young and go, what did God teach me here? What path did he have me on here? If you're a follower of Jesus, have been for a while, go back to the original parts. What was God doing here? What's he been teaching here? What's he teaching me now? And you can pretty much figure out where you're going next. You just look at the path, and you apply what you learned over here that God taught you to over here. And so, you know, when you're standing in front of your decision, you're going, okay, I think I got it because God has been faithful in all these areas. I think I know where I'm going. Based on what he's done in the past, he's going to lead in the future. He's been faithful then. He's going to be faithful now. So therefore, I want to make a choice that fits with my life experiences. Where I made mistakes, he taught me about that. I'm going to avoid that. Where he taught me that things I were doing were right, I want to go back and repeat them now. The way I treat people was wrong then. I don't want to do that again. The way I treated people over here was good. I want to complete that path. The scriptures say, Job chapter 12, verse 12, that wisdom is with the age. They've earned it. Over time, you learn, right? And understanding and length of days, The longer your trail has been with Jesus, the more you know. Doesn't mean you won't make mistakes, but the more life experience you have, the more you can apply it to wisdom. So that's number four. The last one is pretty common. You'll see this everywhere, but I want to change it a little bit, is think through the consequences. Anytime you take any kind of class about decision making, what do they tell you? Think through the consequences. What? Short term? It's going to happen now. You're going to make this decision. Something's going to happen. What do you think the consequences are? And long term, you think both. How's this going to affect your life the rest of your life? But think through the consequences. I'm going to make this choice. That means I'm giving up everything else. If I choose this path, I can't do all the other paths. Does that make sense? I mean, what are the consequences? What do I think is going to happen? I can't see all of them, but I can tell. But here's what Jesus said. He was talking to his followers about following him. And he says in Luke chapter 14, verse 28, he says this, "For which of you desiring to build a tower," you can change the word tower for a house, "does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it?" Like, you look forward and go, I'm going to build this house. Do I have enough money? I don't want to start this thing if I can't finish it. Yes, I do. No, I don't. He said that's what most of us do. But what he's applying it to is following him. Because here's the deal. Following Jesus is the decision that determines every other decision. Following Jesus is the decision that determines every other decision. And what he's telling them is, look, you need to count the cost if you're going to follow me. Because if you're going to follow me, that decision is going to determine every other decision you're going to make. So count the cost of that, because you're going to come to these crossroads, and already this side is all out. You're not going to be able to choose those anymore, because you're going to follow me, and it's my way that you're going to go, because you trust me, and you know that I want the best for you, and I have a plan for you, and there's a future and a hope there. He said, count that cost. This is the best way, but it's going to cost you something. You can't choose all those other things anymore. And he says, do you have that? So here's a way to kind of filter that. When you're about to make a decision, your question is, how will this affect my relationship with Jesus? If I make this choice, the wise thing is to go, how will this affect my walk with Jesus from here on out? How will it affect it? Because I've already committed to following him. So if I make this choice, how will it affect it? How might it affect it? I don't know. That's why I ask for wisdom. So that's a big one. What are the consequences to our choices? Five quick things. I'll review them really quickly. Ask for wisdom if you have a decision to make. Just ask for wisdom. God, I need help. Number two, seek it. Seek wisdom daily. You're building up wisdom as you go through the word. Number three, surround yourself with wise people. That's why we do small groups. All right, we want people in small groups to be surrounded with wise people. Pray about it together. I have to make a choice, you tell your small group. You email them, I got to make a choice. I'll pray for you to have wisdom. That's why we do that. Apply your life experiences, look what God's doing, where he's going, and then think through the consequences. How will it affect my life with Jesus? The writer of Proverbs kind of summed it up, and he said this, Proverbs 4:8. He says, getting wisdom is the wisest thing you can do. Getting wisdom is the wisest thing you can do. Now, we're wrapping up the series this week, and so one of the things we did every week was we said, here's a challenge. 7 by 7 by 7 challenges. This is the last one. The first one was really simple. First one, we asked you to take 7 verses over 7 days and say them 7 times. Go to YouVersion, get the verse of the day, look on my Facebook page, something. You're going to get a verse a day and just repeat it 7 times through the day. Either like I do sometimes, it's just I read it all one time, 7 times. Sometimes I come back to it during the day, but I want it in my heart. That was the first one. Second week was 7 acts of kindness, the hesed of God, loving kindness to 7 people. Build a culture of kindness in your life. Week 3 was this. When you're faced with uncertainty and you're not sure what to do, pray this prayer. God, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. God, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. It's a great prayer to pray when you're not sure. Last week, find 7 words that you feel God says define your life. I gave you 4 from Proverbs. Humility was the first one. What are 7 words you want people to say about you when it's all said and done? Here's my 7 words. Some of you guys sent them in. I loved it. It was great to see your list. Here's my 7 words that I want to live by. This week, last one, here you go. 7 by 7 by 7 challenge. 7 decisions. You got 35,000 a day. Just pick 7. Over 7 days and ask yourself this question. What's the wise thing to do? You choose. Seven decisions today. Small one, big one, you choose. But you just stop and go, God, what's the wise thing to do? Do these things, and it becomes part of your life. Let's pray together. Father God, in this moment, we know the wise thing to do is listen to you. So I pray that you'll speak to our hearts wherever we may be. Maybe through your Holy Spirit, you're bringing up things that we need to change or be transformed, or just memories of you, or just need to stop and thank you for the good things that you've done. But teach us the wise thing to do. Father, I pray for anyone today that's just struggling with an issue that they're not sure what to do or how to handle it or where to go or who to talk to about. I pray that they'll find answers in you and healing in you. And for all of us, Father, we ask for a blessed life, not to for our own selfishness, but to be a blessing to others. So take what we're doing every day and use it for your glory. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. At the end of each service, we stop and we just say, here's a time of reflection, a time to think, a time to react to God, a time to commune with God. And so we do communion every week. And today for the communion meditation, I want to continue this idea, but I want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. And it's talking about what we're about to do. And it's talking about the fact that we're about to eat bread and drink juice that represents the crucifixion of Jesus. But it also represents the resurrection of Jesus. And it says this, Paul's writing, he says, for the message of the cross is foolishness. It doesn't look wise at all to those who are perishing. It doesn't make any sense. Why would God kill his own son or allow his son to die? Why would he allow him to take on our sins? Why did he have to die? Why did he come? Why can't he just excuse? Why can't he just overlook? It makes no sense. It makes no sense to the world. But to those of us who are being saved, it is the power of God. It's the power of the resurrection in our life. Yes, God sent his son because he so loved us that he said, for all those who believe, will have eternal life and will not perish. It doesn't make sense outside of here. It doesn't look wise at all. But to those who know Jesus, it makes perfectly good sense. He did it for us. It shows his love. If you're a follower of Jesus, you're welcome to come. It's open to everybody. What will happen? I'll pray. You come forward. There's a piece of bread which represents the body of Jesus. There's a cup of juice which represents his blood. You can return to your seats when you're ready, eat and drink, and pray. Maybe give God some of the decisions you made that were wrong, that you regret. You're looking for forgiveness. He'll forgive you. And then when you had time to do all that, we're going to close with a word of song too. So let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your Spirit and the truth of the gospel that Jesus Christ went on the cross and he took our sins upon him and he died. He said, it is finished. It is paid in full. Your debts are covered. Your debts are forgiven. You're clean. You're white as snow. I have paid it. And while that doesn't seem to make sense, it's the good news of the gospel. So I pray over this time of communion that we connect with Jesus and connect with what he did and live our lives fully for him. And we pray this in his name. Amen. Communion is open to all who want to receive it.